Ladies and gentlemen,
the secret word is chair. C-H-A-I-R.
Really?
You bet your life. It's Groucho Marx in You Bet Your Life, the comedy quiz series produced and transcribed from Hollywood and brought to you by the DeSoto Plymouth Dealers of America, who invite you to see and drive the most exciting car in the world today, DeSoto for 1957.
The most exciting car today is now delighting the far highway. It's the lovely, it's dynamic, it's DeSoto. Exciting style to please the eye, exciting power to pass them by. It's the lovely, it's dynamic, it's DeSoto.
And now, the one, the only...
Well, here I am again with a chance for each of our couples to win $2,000. And it's even possible somebody might walk out of here with $10,000.
Well, Groucho, before I introduce the first couple, I'd like to say that the charming lady from Tusa, Italy, Bettina Consolo, is here again tonight, and she'll be out here later in the show to see what kind of a plot you've cooked up for her.
Good work, George. And since she's a good cook, I trust she has something cooked up for me, too.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised if she has. Right now, though, I'd like you to meet our first contestants. They're Carol Yost and Emmanuel Klein. So, folks, you come in, please, and meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome to Your Bet's Life. Say the secret word, and you each get an extra $50. It's a common word, something you find around the house. Carol Yost and Emmanuel Klein, eh? That's a pretty fancy first name. Well, they always say age before beauty, so who will I talk to first? What do you think? Carol, how old are you?
29.
And Mr. Klein, what is your age?
77.
Oh, well, you're a fine-looking lad for 77. Should I call you Emmanuel, or do you have a nickname?
Uncle Manny, I'm called by most everyone.
Uncle Manny?
Yes.
Oh. Uncle Manny or Uncle Manny?
Manny.
I thought perhaps you were a goat.
Oh, I think you're trying to get my goat here, huh? Okay, we're trying to live.
I don't know what I would do with your goat if I had it, Manny.
Well, you might be kidding me.
Oh. Oh, say, you're pretty sharp there, aren't you? Where are you from, Manny?
I was born in Cincinnati, Ohio, February the 15th, 1880.
Now, Carol, where are you from?
I'm from Getty, South Dakota. Then we moved to Pekin, Illinois, and finally settled in Los Angeles.
Oh, you're married, I assume, huh?
Yes, I am.
How did you meet your husband, then?
Well, he was in with the young group that my aunt was in. They were all sort of dating together, and she took me down to the little cafe where they always met, introduced me to him, and he swung around on the stool and smiled at me, and I just went overboard about him.
You went overboard? Was this on a boat?
No.
Well, you sound like you were really sold on this fellow, huh?
Oh, I was.
Are you just as mad about him today as you were then?
Well, it's pretty hard to be mad about anybody after 11 years, especially after you hear him snoring.
Would you like to cure him of snoring?
I certainly would.
Well, have you tried holding his head underwater for about 12 hours? You know, we had a woman on the show one time who had a cure for snoring, and it really worked.
Oh, what was
Would
that?
You be interested in hearing?
I'd love to hear it.
She said when her husband went to bed at night, she strapped an orange in the middle of his back, and every time he rolled over and started to snore, he felt this orange, and he was uncomfortable, and he'd roll back on his stomach again. And a friend of mine tried that on her husband, and at the end of a year, her husband was still snoring. But she had 112 gallons of orange juice. You believe this, Manny?
I believe it.
Tell us another.
Are you implying that I'm lying, Manny?
No. This is stretching the truth, that's all.
You know, we have a quiz later where it's conceivable that you might win some money.
Well, I hope
but
so.
But if you're kind of going to have this kind of a skeptical attitude about these things I say, you haven't got a chance up here. I want you to remember that, because I'm just as crooked as you are. Are you retired?
No, sir. I'm in business for myself. I've been in business for myself all my life, excepting 5 years. Mm-hmm. I'm in the antique business.
You're in the antique business?
Yes, sir.
Now, do you have any other interests aside from antiques?
Yes, I happen to be a jingle advertising man. I took that up 7 years ago with a fifth grade education, and I'm not afraid to say I'll challenge anyone in the country, regardless of their education, to beat me for speed and originality.
You write jingles for
I do.
Advertising? And in spite of that, you've lived 77 years?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, what kind of customers do you have for your advertising
jingles? Well, mostly professional people. I write a little advertising jingle. As a matter of fact, if you'd like, I'd be glad to write you one right now.
Well, I'm not that eager, but could you give us an example of a jingle that increased somebody's business?
Yes, sir. Well, the first one I wrote was for a plumber. I do not write any fiction. Everything I'm repeating is I don't have to remember because it's the truth.
Is this the poem?
Yes, sir.
Oh, well, that doesn't rhyme, what you just said.
Well, just a minute now. Just a minute, boy. After all, I'm older than you are. You've got to respect me for my age. Now, just a minute. The first one is read like this here. If your plumbing
is
bad...
It isn't often we get anybody on the show that can say that.
If your plumbing is bad and you looked all over town...
Now, pardon me. This is the poem now
this
coming.
This is the poem, yes, sir.
I'd like a little warning about this.
All right, okay, sir. If your plumbing is bad and you looked all over town, take up your receiver and phone L.Z. Brown. Now, if you're not one of them...
You know, that jingle sort of fits a plumber.
Well, sure.
It even gives me a wrench, that thing. Carol, what do you think of Edgar Allan Klein here, the Jingle King?
Well, it's all right, but I think maybe I'm just a little bit overly critical. I write verse myself.
You're a poet, too? Manny, run for your life. Well, this is surely more than just a coincidence. It's a calamity. Is that why Fenneman teamed you two together? Because you're both poets?
I guess so.
No. Well, Carol, do you ever get paid for your poems, or is yours free verse?
No, I write for the Los Angeles Mirror News. They're in three times a week.
Oh, well, that's very impressive.
And now they're being syndicated by the Mirror Enterprises Syndicate around the world.
Do you phone them in the morning and say the vice is yet to come? Well, it's like Shakespeare said, Carol. If you've time on your hands and your poetry's fine, pick up the receiver and phone Mr. Klein. What do you write about, Carol?
Well, I write about the children and
your
my husband.
You have children?
Yes, my husband, myself, and it's...
And is that enough to keep... to write three poems a week about just about your immediate family?
Yes, and it's...
Don't you require more children?
Well, no, I think it's enough. And,
could you give us one about your husband?
Well, most of my favorites are a little insulting to my husband, so uh-huh. I'll pick out another one.
All right, pick one out that isn't too drastic.
I like Knighthood in Flower.
Oh, so do I, but give us the poem anyhow, huh?
He's lost a lot of gallantries he used in courting days, like opening a door for me or helping in small ways. Now, when I go out to the car, I find he's gone before and settled down behind the wheel while I close my own door. When we were wed, he said, no more would I do things alone. I never knew he meant to build me muscles of my own.
Well, that was very good, Carol. You say he always gets in the car ahead of you?
Well, you know, after 11 years.
Yes. Well, no. That isn't a lack of gallantry, Carol.
No, but you
he
have
does
to
it for a very good reason. He's probably seen you drive, and he wants to get to the wheel first. Now, I'd like to continue this, but we've got to get down to the serious business, which is winning money. We're going to play You Bet Your Life. You selected the dictionary quiz. Are you very good at this, Manny?
Well, fairly good.
I'll ask you some questions. If you miss two in a row, you're out. If you get four in a row right, you win $1,000. Could you give us a short poem, George?
No, I don't think I could.
What about, the dog stood on the railroad track. He didn't hear the whistle. Toot, toot, sausages. How's that?
Wonderful.
We used to use that in our school act about 35 years ago. Now, remember, one answer between you. That's the main thing. If you get four in a row right, you win $1,000. What is a cartographer, I guess? C-A-R-T-O-G-R-A-P-H-A.
Map maker.
Omar the map maker. You don't have to go any further.
You have one right, three more right, and you'll have $1,000.
What is a lapidary?
One that cuts stones.
Did you discuss this with her? It's right. But you see how dangerous this is? She might have said something else. She might have said a lapidary is where a secretary sits. While she's milking a cow, it's a lapidary.
You have two right now. You're halfway to $1,000.
All right, now talk it over now. What is an anchorite? A-N-C-H-O-R-I-T-E. A-N-C-H-O-R-I-T-E.
In T-H or C-H?
A-N-C-H-O-R-I-T-E.
I'm afraid we don't know.
Well, it's a hermit or a recluse.
Well, you have one wrong now. Don't get the next one wrong or you're out of the game.
All right, what does salubrious mean? S-A-L-U-B-R-I-O-U-S.
S-A-L, what's that?
Salubrious.
U-B-R-I-O-U-S.
Happy and healthy.
That's close enough. Healthy or wholesome is right.
Well, you're back on the right track. You have one right now.
What's the word for a trench usually filled with water that you find around an old castle?
Moat.
Moat is right. Manny, Moat, and Jack.
Two more right, you'll have $1,000.
What is a samovar?
It's a Russian teapot.
A Russian teapot is right.
One more right, and you'll have your $1,000.
Work.
Yes.
Yes, it is. And it's hardly worth it, huh? All right, what is the word for the sash or band that men wear instead of a vest?
A cummerbund.
Cummerbund is right.
And you got four in a row and you have $1,000.
Well, we can't go. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute.
Okay.
You won $1,000. You can keep it and quit, or you can come back later at the end of the show and try to double your money. You may even get a crack at $10,000. So go over there and think about it. And no matter what you decide to do, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Groucho.
Now, Groucho, as we promised our friend from last week, Bettina Consolo, is back here to see you again.
You mean she's been standing here since last week?
No, she came back again tonight because, remember, she'd promised to bring you a pizza pie.
Oh, a pizza pie, yeah.
Pizza pie.
Can you say that three times fast in a row?
Pizza, pizza pie.
Three times in
pizza,
a row.
Pizza, pizza pie, pizza, pizza pie, pizza, pizza pie. Would you come in? All right. Are you here? There.
Well,
it is.
Look at this.
Hello,
Groucho,
are you?
Yeah. Looks like two bath mats. Are you sure this is a pizza?
That's a pizza.
Oh, well, it looks wonderful.
This has got a salsiccia italiana.
It's got a what?
Salsiccia italiana.
Oh, and what is this got?
And this is mozzarella e anchovy, delle calecche, delle lilagnese,
oh, well, you...
and cheese.
Cheese, huh?
And a dog.
And a dog?
And a dog.
There's a dog inside of one of these.
No, that's a dog. Flower dog.
Oh, I thought you said a dog. I thought you meant a chow. Because we're going to have chow later. Now, well, you fooled me. I thought they were hubcaps.
Well, before you know, you've got to warm it up in the oven.
Well, thanks. It's just what I've always wanted, Bettina.
Nice. A glass of wine or glass of beer. Yeah. They goes just nice.
You supply the wine, too, Bettina?
Yeah, I think so. It's the best. Make you a nice rosy chick.
George, I hate to have you do these kind of menial jobs, but would you put these in my dressing rooms?
I'd be very happy to.
And alight my position, will you? I'm standing by. Well, Bettina, you know why we brought you back here. Have you found a husband yet? You know,
no.
Last week you said you were looking for a man who had never been in jail.
Nobody yet.
You haven't found anybody?
No.
Yet? Well, I have a surprise for you. We have located a man for you.
Wonderful. Very nice.
I'm not so sure of that. Now, what do you think of that?
Well, I think that's a nice idea.
Well, don't get carried away now.
No.
I don't know how anxious he is to get married.
That's all right. We'll find out.
I don't know anything about him. All I know is he's not married.
That's it.
And even more important than that, he's still breathing.
Yeah.
George, will you send out the pigeon? I mean the bridegroom? Here he is. Here is your dream man. Welcome to your betcha life. If you say the extra secret word, you get an extra $50. And a pizza pie. It's a common word, something you find around an Italian restaurant. Well, what is your name, sir?
Oreste Seragnoli.
Oreste Signorari?
Seragnoli.
Signorari, huh?
Seragnoli.
Seragnoli. Well, I'm Groucho Marx, and this little kid here is Bettina Consola.
I'm very glad to meet you.
Just call her Baby Doll.
Baby Doll.
Now, Bettina, take a look.
You look a very nice man.
Yeah. I think we should find out a few facts about him. Don't you think so? He may have a record a mile long.
That's right.
Now then, where are you from, Mr. Seragnoli?
Norway? From Bologna.
And you came from Bologna, Italy?
No, Bologna. Bologna.
Bologna, huh?
Yeah.
And you're not married?
No, never married in my life.
This doesn't seem like a very likely subject, does it? How old are you?
Well,
and if you feel like lying a little, don't hesitate. Huh?
No, I don't hesitate.
No, how old are you?
I am 73.
Oh, well, you're a very vigorous man for 73. Are you cheating a little, or is that the real story?
No, it's the truth.
The truth, huh? How old a man did you say you were looking for, Bettina?
Well, around 65.
65?
Mm-hmm.
It's too late for me, then.
Bettina, we've got to prove to Oresti that you'd make a better wife than a lot of other women who are looking for husbands. In your opinion, what do other wives do wrong?
Oh, a lot of things. Gotcha.
Well, what, for example?
A lot of things. So they don't know about to spend the money.
The bum housekeepers?
Yes, a bum housekeeper, and then stay on the phone all the day long, and they don't get about the house.
You stay on the phone all day?
Stay on the phone and talk to all the friends. What are they doing? Where are we going? What are we going to do tomorrow? What are we going to do tonight? And all the things, and talk, and the husband coming home in the night, and they find all the mess all over the place.
Bettina, you've certainly been in a lot of American homes.
Yes.
Now, suppose you were married to Oresti. Now, this is just a hypothetical case, you know.
All right.
I mean, this isn't a fact. We're just building this now.
Fine.
Now, suppose he came home late some night. Would you ask him where he'd been?
Oh, yes. That's the first thing I'm going to ask him. I want to know where they've been, why they're coming home late. If I wait all the day long the home, cooking, the clean the house. If everything is ready for my husband when they come home in the night,
what would
you
say?
Where have you been all the day?
I just saw it from a friend of mine.
How is it you never got married, Oresti?
Well, I tell you the truth.
That isn't necessary,
like
but go ahead.
Free.
What's that?
See, I say why I like to be free, to go everywhere where I like without asking my wife. To anybody.
Bettina, would he have to ask you if he wanted to go out in the evening to the racetrack or something?
Well, and she says that you want to be free. Let him stay free. You...
Well, Oresti, don't you want to have any children? Don't you like children?
I like it very much.
You like children?
Absolutely. I adore children. Plenty, but not mine.
Bettina, could you come back next week?
Sure, anytime.
We'll have another fellow. Now, Oresti's a nice fellow, but obviously he's not interested in you. He is a woman hater. He's a misanthrope.
No, I don't
know. No, you're a misanthrope if I ever saw one.
I told you.
Isn't he a misanthrope, Bettina?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, let's see how smart Oresti is. He's going to play You Bet Your Life. Now, Bettina, how much did you win last week?
We went broke.
You didn't win anything?
No.
You went for broke?
Yeah.
Well, maybe Oresti can win something for you, and you help him whenever you can, huh? All right?
Okay. I hope so.
Okay, let's go now. You picked Royal Capitals. Are you good at this, Oresti?
Yeah.
Now, we want one answer between you before you answer. You talk it over. I'm going to ask you some questions. If you miss two in a row, you're out. If you get four in a row right, you win $1,000. Ready? All right. What is the capital of Cuba?
Cuba?
Big city.
Cuba? Let's see. I know. I wrote that. Cuba. Oh, okay. Havana.
Well, that's right. Havana.
Have one right, three more right, and you'll have $1,000.
All right. What is the capital of Denmark?
Denmark, Copenhagen.
Copenhagen is right. Snuff said.
You're halfway to $1,000. Two more right, and it's yours.
What is the capital of New Zealand? Well, it's Wellington. It was named after the Duke of Wellington, I believe.
You have another chance. You have one wrong now. Don't get the next one wrong, or you're out of the game.
What is the capital of Egypt?
Egypt,
Talk it over.
Egypt is, I know. It's, Alessandria?
No, I'm sorry. It's Cairo.
Cairo.
Well, you...
They're lost, huh?
They're out of the game, yes.
I'm sorry you missed two in a row. We don't want you to go away broke, so I'm going to ask you one question for $100, okay? All right, what city is famous for Boston baked beans?
Italy.
That's right, Italy is right. Sorry you didn't want more. Arrivederci.
Arrivederci.
Thanks for being with us. You bet your life. And Bettina, you be sure to come back here next week.
And now, in just a moment, we'll find out if our first couple will try for a chance at the big money.
All right, George, bring out our first couple and we'll find out what they're going to do.
All right, Carol Jost and Emmanuel Klein, you come back, please.
You won $1,000 so far. Now you have a chance to win a lot more. Maybe even $10,000, or you can stop right here and keep your $1,000. If you decide to try for the big money and fail, you wind up with a total of $500. Now, what are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to come back, not because I'm smart, but because I won't sleep if I don't.
Now, what about you, Uncle Manny?
Well, I tell you, I've made a vow, and I have no right to abuse that. I want to stay with my vow.
You don't want to jeopardize your money, is that it? Well, would you like to take a seat over there and see what happens?
Yes, okay, yeah.
I can tell you what's going to happen.
Manny, you know, you get $500. So you can sit quietly and rest with your conscience. Are you ready?
I'm
now,
ready.
One answer between you. You know what this means now. You had a chance to win a lot more. If you fail, you wind up with a total of $250.
And I can't go home either.
No. There are many places you can go, Carol. Huh?
Okay.
Now think of a number now between
one
and
sorry.
Ten. And take a number.
Two.
Two, and give it a swing.
Pressure now.
Oh. Your number was two and it landed on two. Oh. So this question is worth $5,000.
Oh, goodbye.
Your number was two. Okay, now are you ready? Now one answer between you.
Yeah.
I'm sure everyone's read the stories of King Arthur and his round table.
Oh, no.
For $5,000, I want to know the legendary town where King Arthur held his court.
Oh.
Think about it. What do you say?
Wasn't Camelot.
It certainly was Camelot.
Oh,
there goes the husband, the poetry, the three children, and everything, huh? Well, what are you going to do with that money?
Well, gosh, with three boys, our house is sort of busting at the seam. I think I'd like to make it a little bit bigger.
Well, that's wonderful. Congratulations for being with us. You bet your life.
Be sure to tune in again next week, same time, same station, for Groucho Marx in You Bet Your Life. Don't miss the Chrysler Corporation's big TV show on another network. And don't forget Groucho's TV show, also brought to you by the DeSoto Plymouth Dealers of America, who invite you to visit your neighborhood showroom today to see and drive the most exciting car in the world today, DeSoto for 1957.
And when you go in, tell them Groucho sent you. So long, folks, and remember... It's the lovely, it's dynamic, it's the soda.
Folks, here's a reminder from the National Safety Council. Don't jump the gun when the signal changes. Give the walkers a break. You Bet Your Life, transcribed from Hollywood, is produced by John Goodell. directed by Robert Dwan and Bernie Smith. Music by Jack Meekin. This is George Fenneman signing off for the DeSoto Plymouth Dealers of America. You Bet Your Life is heard by our armed forces throughout the world.